The question was asked, how do we view the prakim of Tehillim that seem to speak about a Naros Bavel, that seem to be by David HaMelech, by Moshe Rabbeinu, who compiled them, who composed them, Korach's children, and what's unique about the book of Tehillim. And as we are approaching David HaMelech's yahrzeit, it's Rosh Chodesh Sivan tonight, so it's a fitting time. David HaMelech passed away on Shavuos, to discuss a little bit about Tehillim. And at the conclusion, remind me to share with you a story. I don't know where the story is quoted. Rav Mutzafi quoted it in a few of his shiurim. But let's begin first with some of the questions. We know that Tehillim has chapters that were composed by Moshe Rabbeinu, by Adam HaRishon. So Chazal tells there were 10 authors of Tehillim. Rashi, in the very beginning of Tehillim, quotes them. Adam HaRishon, Moshe, Eitan HaEzrachi, which according to Chazal was Avraham Avinu, the three sons of Korach, Yedusun, Shlomo, David. The simple traditional understanding is that David HaMelech compiled it. And there are chapters that were written with prophecy, with insight into the future. The Radak and the Meiri write that it wasn't Nevuah, but rather Ruach HaKodesh. Nevuah being where Hashem tells a person a specific vision, and Ruach HaKodesh being a level of, within this broader sense of Nevuah, a level of being uplifted where he has insights from Hashem, but it's the person is still in full control of his facilities, he's in full control of his mind and his feelings, and being on a highly spiritual level, he can understand things beyond what a person does ordinarily in this world, and that's Ruach HaKodesh. And with that, David HaMelech composed Tehillim. He compiled Tehillim. Some of the chapters were composed earlier, given on tradition until the days of David HaMelech. What do we do with the chapters that were written without an author? Were they by David or not? That's a machlokas among the commentaries. What do we do with the whole chapters after David HaMelech says, Kalut tfilot David ben Ishai? David, the son of Jesse, finished talking. So again, that's a machlokas rishonim. Are those also, do we say by default everything in Tehillim is David HaMelech, which is the traditional understanding? Or do we say no? These were things that were in the Masorah of Klal Yisrael, and they were included. And the Ibn Ezra really is the one that first spells out these two understandings, and he sides with the traditional one, but he gives credence to the other understanding. And not only does he give credence to it, he also suggests, he brings another understanding, one that if you don't say in the name of the Ibn Ezra, you'll be branded Napikores, so be careful where you quote this. The Ibn Ezra, in the introduction to Tehillim, he quotes those that suggest that Tehillim was an ongoing work in Klal Yisrael, an ongoing work of Tefillot, that Tehillim was developing to the point of Babylon, to the point of the Jews standing at the riverside of Babylon, weeping after the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, and compiling the work, Al Narot Bavel Sham Yishavnu Gam Bachinu, which would make Tehillim a work that was really closed very late in Jewish history. After the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, I guess it would be, depending on how you interpret what Chazal say about Ayelet HaShachar being Esther, it would be a work that was closed towards the beginning of the Second Temple, which doesn't bother us. He doesn't say that understanding is heretical. He just says he sides with the other understanding, that he thinks there's no reason not to say it was all David, and some of it was said with prophecy about the future destruction, and Al Narot Bavel, for example, was written with prophetic vision, that this is where it would end up. And this is a concept which we know. From the beginning of the first temple, they knew they were headed towards destruction. So that's not so far-fetched. But there are both understandings presented, and it's interesting to note that the Malbim who was so traditional, the Malbim who was fighting the Maskilim, Dafka, in his understanding and in his introduction, he seems to go with the first understanding of the Ibn Ezra, with the less, what we might call the less traditional understanding, that Tehillim was a work in progress in Klal Yisrael. So that's in a nutshell, those are the sugiyot more or less about who composed and when it was compiled, when different chapters were composed. Rav Mutzafi quotes the following story, that there was once a wealthy Jew who he used to have a kollel and he used to fund people learning, and he once made a siyum and he finished a big masechta, so he invited all the rabbis of the town and he made a big feast for everyone in town. And there was one Jew who was a poor beggar who used to read Tehillim all day. That's what he used to say. And this wealthy Jew who just made this big scene and he's inviting everyone in town to feast at his house. So they're sitting at the table and they're starting to serve the main course. And this poor beggar is waiting on the sides and he's hungry. And he's not getting the main course. So he tries to push to the front to get a piece of meat. And he's not getting any. And he's trying again. He's trying a third time. And finally, the guy tells him, "You sit your place, you. What do you know what a seam is? All you do is read Tehillim all day. You sit in your place and you'll get your course when it's your turn." So the guy's all embarrassed. He goes back to his place and waits. And as they're sitting at the meal, suddenly the man's servant comes to him and he says, "Master, there's someone outside calling you. You got to come." So he goes outside and he sees a big chariot. And they tell him, "We want to talk to you." So he goes up to the chariot. He doesn't know who's there. And he sits down. And they tell him, "You sit here." And they start riding. And they're riding. And he sees the forest passing. And he's riding at a million miles an hour. And he doesn't even recognize where he is. And after a few minutes, they bring him to a cave. And they bring him to a cave. And when he goes into the cave, he's all scared. And they tell him, "You come with us." And the lieutenant and the officers, they walk him in. And he comes in. And there's a long gold table. A lot of old people sitting there learning. And suddenly everyone goes quiet. And they say, "Shh, he's coming, he's coming." And in walks a royal figure, a huge royal figure. They put a crown on his head, and everyone stands up and applauds. And then they stand and they say, "David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam." And David calls him over, and he says, "I want you to judge between me and this fellow. I compiled the work of Tehillim, which I davened before Hashem, that my work of Tehillim should be considered before Hashem, as is brought, that David davened, that Tehillim should be considered as though a person is learning Torah. Ordinarily, you know, there are different sfiyot and different mitzvot. So, Tehillim, there's Torah and there's Tefillah." And here we have to pause for a minute. So, David HaMelech says, I want you to judge between me and him. We know there are different zchuyot. There's zchut tefillah, there's zchut Torah. David HaMelech davened especially that Hashem should consider the reading of Tehillim as though it were zchut Torah, not only tefillah. It should be as though a person's actually learning Gemara when he's saying Tehillim. And he said, this guy, he spoke about a precious, precious Jew who says my Tehillim every day. He said about him, "What do you know about Hashem? You just say Tehillim. And I want you to judge between us." So the guy's all scared and all nervous. And he says, "Please, forgive me. I want your mercy. David, do me a favor. I want you to forgive me." So David says, "Okay, I'm willing to forgive you on the condition that you make good on what you... on what you did, on the way you treated the guy, and the way you treated the Tehillim in general." So the guy promises, and they take him out, and again they take him on the chariot, and again he's flying through trees and forests, and before he knows it, he's back before his own palace, and they bring him in, and the chariot's off. And he comes in and he told all the Rabbanim the story, and he quickly honored the guy, and had the guy sit up at the head table with him. And from that day onward, he funded, he used to fund people who would say Tehillim every day to make amends for what he had done back then. So that's a story Rav Mutzafi said in more than one shir. I was not there, so I don't know. But he says it as a true story, so I assume so.